Dolphin Talk. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. Today I have invited Christina Raymer to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Christina, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Yeah, Catherine. Yes, good to be here. Thank you.
Christina Raymer is a cradle Catholic and she's from Waikato. She is part of a coordinating team that is called Be the Change. Christina, what is that Be the Change? Can you tell us more about it?
I guess in many ways we're a group of mostly women, but also men who we're still evolving in our understanding of what it really is. But essentially it's about the position of women in the church, in the Catholic Church. So we are mostly all Catholic or have origins or connections with the Catholic Church and have a long history of being involved in advocacy, in work for women and women's spiritualities and leadership and ministry in many, many ways, different ways, different strengths. Some of them are religious women in the group. And so we've just got to a point where I guess we are tired and frustrated with waiting for the church to give us recognition and equality that we seek in leadership, ministry, spirituality, to embrace who we are as women of the church. And so we have simply asserted the right to be the change, to be what we want to be, rather than waiting for that time to happen. Because, I mean, so many of us have just given up in frustration and walked away and found, tried to find a home somewhere else or in some other way. But we thought, no, we are Catholic. This is who we are. This is our identity. We are created equally in the image of God as male and female. And so we want to claim that space, and so we want to be the change that we aspire to.
So you're not just thinking of the future, you will be the change, but you are actually currently the change.
That's exactly right, yes. So, yes, we're asserting that right, and then we hope, rather than waiting for permission, we hope for recognition and time. Yes.
What kind of recognition would you like to see? When you talk about recognition, is that a recognition for the volunteer work that the women do in the church, or for what is the recognition?
I think we, so many of us, male and female, do volunteer work in all sorts of ways. And sure, it's not, you know, the recognition in terms of thanks or accolades or, you know, awards and medals and so on. That it's not what we do it for. But it's to claim our space as equal citizens, equally baptised. We profess in our creed one baptism, and yet that's not what we feel that we live in the church. It's as if there are multiple orders of baptism, and it's all linked to the issues and problems that have been clearly identified by many in terms of clericalism and so on. And it's just embracing women's spirituality. As Mary McAleese, Vice President of Ireland, described it, the church is like a bird that's trying to fly with one wing and it ends up flailing around and going in circles. If it would simply embrace the feminine side of it, we would be able to fly as God has called us to fly.
Yeah. Christina, can you tell us a little bit more about how it all started? How did Be the Change start?
Well, I guess all of us have got background and experience in various ways that go way back to 80s or earlier, made in God's image. Women who've been devoted their lives to the religious life because they are women and it wasn't an option for them, all sorts of things. But the instigation, I guess, for us as a group was in 2019, when a friend of mine had a visit from a Catholic woman priest from the United States. Paula Herfer was her name. And so she invited a few other friends, about 10 or 12 of us, into her lounge in Auckland, and just to meet with this woman and her husband. who was a past an ex-priest. And so it was a wonderful experience for many of us, the first time to meet a real Catholic woman priest and to get that story of how women came to be ordained, which started in 2002 with the ordination of the first women, seven women on the Danube, the Danube Seven they referred to. It's all well documented and documented on the internet if you just Google Danube Seven, Catholic women priests, etc. So there's a whole movement which is still somewhat undercover and many people won't have heard about it. So for us in New Zealand to actually meet a real Catholic woman priest was quite an exciting moment. And so at the end of that afternoon, some of us said to Paula, well, while you're here, wouldn't it be wonderful to have you to preside over a mass for us and let us experience that? And everybody thought, what a great idea, and Paula agreed. And so we kind of thought, well, we've got to be careful about how we do this. And the normal protocol, if you are going to celebrate mass with a visiting priest, in a parish, was to check with the parish priest, and that might put that parish priest, whichever parish we chose, into an awkward position and create all sorts of ruckus. And we thought, now let's just do this on neutral grounds to start with, and we can deal with the politics of it later. And so we found a neutral venue, and Paula presided. And she insisted that she wasn't so much presiding as just bringing Christ's presence through the Eucharistic meal with all of us gathered around the table, and we prayed the Eucharistic prayer together. And it was such a beautiful, wonderful, uplifting experience, a spirit-filled experience, that we all went away saying, we have to keep this going. And so we started to explore about, okay, maybe there are other women in New Zealand who are called to ordination, and we would support them, and maybe some of us are called to ordination, we would support them through that journey and so on. But then as we began to discern and meet and gather and grow in numbers, we realised that this isn't just about women's ordination, which may or may not be the right answer for some of us. There's contention about that. Some say that it's merely women putting on men's clothing, and the problem is the priesthood itself and clericalism, etc. But perhaps it's actually broader than that. It's about gender equality and all sorts of ministry and leadership in the church. And we all have numerous gifts that we can bring to the community and wherever we are. And so let's broaden this out and call it about gender equality. So that's kind of where we've been going since then. It's grown since then.
I read about a woman who was a pastoral, I think she was a pastoral assistant, and she was just saying part of the Eucharistic prayer with a priest who was presiding, and she got into trouble. So I'm wondering how do you react on these notices when you hear from women? I can't remember which country it was, but it was a woman who was involved in the Eucharistic prayer, and it was very clear then from the reporter that this was not okay. How do you deal with these kind of notices, and when do people confront you?
We mostly just sort of work in our own circles. Yes, people do confront us, but we simply invite them to join us and be part of it and welcome people. And, people like that woman in particular, we would... you've got to kind of choose your battles, and maybe it's not a good idea to confront that particular priest or community or reporter or whoever it was, because we're all entitled to our own spirituality, and the church, that's what the beauty of the Universal Catholic Church is. It embraces a very broad spectrum, and so we're not wanting to impose our way, as it were, on others. If the traditional church or even the Latin Mass and so on is what people prefer and what brings Christ and brings God into the world for them, well, good on them. But we're offering an alternative for so many women who have found that that's not nourishing and not nurturing of who they are in their spirituality. And so we've offering the alternative, another place where people can go. And part of that is that we are now running a monthly on a Saturday afternoon as a Zoom or in-person inclusive Eucharistic liturgy. And we share it between us who prepares that, and it's an opportunity for people to connect to our own Eucharistic liturgy as we'd love, you know, we feel called to live it. Mm-hmm. And those liturgies, they blow me away with the beauty, the depth, the wairua that's there. It's extraordinary. And yeah,
are there other be the change in other countries also?
There are numerous, in fact I would say hundreds, of organizations that are related or connected that we find a common spirituality with. We're the only one that goes by this name as far as I know. But I mean, one of our members is at the moment in the United States and very well connected with a group called Holy Wisdom in Washington State, but other parts of Western United States. That's just one group. There are 20 organisations in Australia alone who are part of the Australian Coalition for Catholic Church Reform. So, and all of them have a slightly different focus than that, but a number of them are women's organisations as well. But it's Australian Reforming Catholics, Australians, Inclusive Catholics, in numerous groups. Again, you can find who they are just by Googling ACCCR, Australian Catholic Church Reform International, Catholic Church Reform. And you'll find them, and they have had a powerful influence on working with what Pope Francis has called for a synodal church, and Australia's process with the Plenary Council, which has concluded in July, and after two sessions last year in 2021 and then July this year. And so that's Australia's journey of where it's going, and they're very much a part of that. So in Europe, we are Church is Strong, we are Church Ireland, we are Church Germany, Austria, and numerous other groups, again, Global Council Network, and they all affirm very similar ideas about embracing women as equals, being inclusive, accepting some of them more specific, more directly than others, the ordination of women. There's the Women's Ordination Conference, WOC. So, so we're certainly not alone. I've been blown away by how huge the movement is globally.
It's like a universal movement.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
And Christina, so the broadcast of this interview is on Friday, and Friday is a very special day for Be the Change, because there's an event that you're planning. Can you tell us more about this event? Is it Friday or... Oh, no, it's on Saturday.
It's Sunday. The event is on Sunday the 18th, because that is as close as we could get to the 19th of September, which is Women's Suffrage Day. And so it seemed to be a really good time for us to focus on gender equality for women, because over 120 years ago, I think 126 years ago, women got... The vote in New Zealand, and New Zealand was the first country to be able to do that, and yet we are still working towards recognition as equals in the Catholic Church. You know, our role is defined by a bunch of men, and that can hardly be defined or understood in any way as being equal. So we chose Women's Suffrage Day then as the day to hold this, and we have been collecting women's worn-out shoes and called this event Pink Shoes into the Vatican. It was kind of a little bit of a variation of what happened in 2013 when Pope Francis was elected. There were a group of women in the Vatican who were sending up pink smoke when everybody was waiting for the white smoke to come up. They thought, well, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if the Holy Spirit would inspire them to elect a woman, and we had pink smoke rise up.
But also the Pope Francis is the first one who is not wearing red shoes. He wears, I think, black shoes, but all the previous popes were wearing red shoes.
That's right, yes. So the red shoes is very much a symbol of leadership in the Vatican. So, we thought we'd do a variation of this and call it pink shoes into the Vatican. And have called on women to send in their worn-out shoes with their stories of their journeys in service to the church and work, whether it be at the grassroots level of cleaning and doing the flowers and running children's liturgies and doing cups of tea, or whether it's in ministry of various sorts, pastoral care, leadership, organisation, administration, you name it, whatever it might be. And for many of them, you know, there's been a lifetime of service, either as married women or in religious life or just complete dedication. And yet we feel as if the doors to equality remain closed to us. And so we have their names and we have those stories which will be attached to the shoes. And the shoes will be lined along the street edge from what was known as Khartoum Place, Kate Shepherd's petitioner memorial is on Lawn Street, right beside the library in Auckland, down Lawn Street, and then down Victoria Street, up Queen Street and up Wyndham Street and to the doors of the cathedral on Wyndham Street. There is a similar event that's going to be held in Wellington. They are also doing it, so we're a nationwide movement, and they are going from Parliament up Hill Street to the Sacred Heart Cathedral, which actually has its doors closed at the moment, so that's kind of ironic.
Will there be somebody who will welcome you in the cathedral or in front of the cathedral in the case of Wellington?
Yes, in both places we will be met by a representative of the bishop. Bishop John, Cardinal John Dew in Wellington has been very interested and supportive of the whole movement and what they are calling for, but is away in Rome, and so he's not able to be there. So I think he's sent Bishop Paul Martin or some other delegate in his place. And similarly in Auckland, Bishop Steve Lowe, we've met with him and assured him that this isn't about challenging the church, but about wanting to walk alongside and work with him in reclaiming the place of women in the church as co-equals, as Christ would have. And so Bishop Steve, again, is not able to be there because of other prior commitments, and so he sent a delegate, Father Christine, and will be there to meet us, who's pastor in the cathedral of St. Patrick's in Auckland. So, yes, so that'll be at 10:15 on Sunday morning that we will have completed the journey, the footpath, and got up to the cathedral. And then it will remain in place for the rest of the day for people to be able to walk along and talk to us and, see the installation.
So you will bring the shoes to the cathedral and then place them in front of the cathedral, or...?
The shoes will just simply be on the street making a path up, and so some of them will be on the in a path right to the door, but we'll leave them in place for the remainder of the day, and so people can see them, and then at the end of the day we will collect up the shoes and then give them to City Mission and to St. Vincent de Paul. And some of them are actually not that worn out at all and are beautiful shoes, and if people say, "Well, actually, I wouldn't mind these. They fit me too." Well, they found a new home.
So it is a peaceful and a friendly protest in a way, or as a reminder rather than a protest.
Absolutely. Yes, we don't see it as a protest. We see it as an art installation. It's just creating some visibility for the presence of women in the lives of service that those women who wore those shoes have given to the church.
So anybody who comes and who sees the shoes and who sees the action can get in touch with you while you're standing there, or somebody of your team, and can get more information. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. We will have pamphlets to give away, so people to hand to people as we talk to them, and they'll be able to just Google and go online or register with Be The Change or make their comments or whatever. And there is also a YouTube video of the stories with the shoes, so you can just Google on YouTube, search link shoes into the Vatican, and you will see those stories as well. So
I think that we put the link up on the website and on Facebook so that people can click on the link. That will be easier.
Yes.
And are there any comments or any, because you would have advertised it already widely and I've seen it in newspapers. Are there any comments from other women's organizations of this or like We Are the Church, any other groups that come and say, we are very supportive of your idea. We might like to copy it. Let us know how it went.
Yes, there certainly is. There has been some positive responses from overseas. I think there will be more once we've actually conducted the event, but there has been enthusiastic response and support. But also locally, I mean, from some of the Catholic secondary schools, particularly the girls' schools in Wellington, where they've really got fired up with the idea and will be there in force. So, yeah, it's great to see that response.
And so this is, as you say, it's like a way to the change. It's we are be the change. You have the shoes that show the way to change. And so where would you like to see the church in, let's say, 10 to 20 years?
Well, I think this is actually very opportune because it is totally a part of what Pope Francis is looking for with becoming a synodal church. So it isn't just a once or the synod isn't just an event that's going to happen and then it's all back to normal again. He is calling on us to be more actively involved, for us to listen to one another, be discerning of where the Spirit is calling us. And, you know, we are very clear in our minds that this is where the Spirit is calling us to a greater role of leadership and ministry in the church, so that the church can find her feminine side and be part of a world that needs a God that is neither male or female, but is both, embraces it all. So, yes, I see that this is very much a part of, you might call it democratization of the church too, that which will assist with overcoming the challenges which have been identified that I mentioned before about clericalism and the hierarchical structure of the church. I think that it began with Vatican II, where, you know, it's we the people are the church, male and female, slave and free, you know, regardless of colour, race, ethnicity, etc. And so where we need to reclaim that church and embrace the diversity of who we are as the humanity of God. And so that's where it's going. And I hope that in practical terms, it will be things in the governance structures so that every community, every parish will once again have an active, vibrant pastoral council that enables that community to create the liturgy and minister to the needs of that particular community that's yet still connected to a wider universal church. And that will feed through to the Synod of Synods in October 23, which is where the conclusion of this whole synodal journey, well, it's only the beginning.
Yes.
It's not the end at all. But you know, my hope is that that will involve lay people, including women as well. It won't be just a bunch of red hats meeting together and deciding what happens next. So, yes.
But also with the church talking about the lack of vocations to the priesthood, there might be a very good chance that the work and the education of women is more recognized.
Absolutely. I mean, there are more and more women who are doing the same training as what our priests are, you know, in scripture study and pastoral care and in ministry and leadership and so on. And yet they don't get to be ordained, whereas their brothers do. And it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. You know, that's just got to change.
And the Catholic Church is not the only one who has this history of this kind of structure, because when I look at progressive synagogues that have women rabbis, and hundred years ago it was unthinkable. And so you have lots of examples in many churches also, many evangelical and Anglican church, where you have women priests. So even if it's not priesthood, as you said, it's more about recognizing the talents and the gifts that are God given.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think, you know, we we put an unfair expectation on our priest in the current structures where he's been expected to do everything, to be the scripture scholar, the liturgist, the homilist, the minister, the pastoral carer, the organisational, the admin person who writes the newsletter and does everything. Well, I mean, the finances and all of that as well. You know, these are it's just untenable and unsustainable. And all of those skills, they can be, you know, shared out amongst the community and allow the people with the strengths in each of those various ministries to come forward and do their role. You know, we're like, you know, the vine of many branches. And
yes, that's what Paul says. And it was only recently that we had the body of with many parts of the body, but it's one body of the church. And so if it's distributed, if the workload is distributed among several people, then each one has time, more time to continue with education in certain fields.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you so much, Christina, for telling us all about Be the Change, about this initiative that started with women, but it's not exclusively for women. Oh, it's for everybody, and it's fitting in the picture of the synodal church, the synodal way, the journey. And I wish you all the best for your event on Sunday, 18th of September. And we'll put the details on the website and on Facebook. And yes, what is coming up at the spiritualities, and what is coming up at our Titipona study and joy. So it's another kind of spirituality. We are concentrating on teaching, but in a way that it is still participatory, so we'll try to just widen our horizons. And so we'll have on the 19th of September, we have Living Waters in Judaism. This is the first part with Dr. Leonard Blocksberg. And then we have 1 week later, the 26th of September, also Monday, from 7 to 8:30, Brother Kieran Fenn, and he will talk about water in Christianity. And so all the information is on the website. So please check out the website, www.studyjoy.nz. And Christina, Living Waters, I think that fits to you and to your organization.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you very much for all your work you're doing in this field and to create an awareness for everybody being part of the church.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. And tēnā koutou katoa.
Kia ora, thank you.
Aotearoa peace is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world a new day dawning and shines a light to greet. We're singing, this is the day when the hope is calling. This is the day when the world can say, Veronimanie. Can you hear the cry for the wounds to be healed? Can you hear the call for this light to reveal? Oh, a vision of hope and peace for the tears in our hearts. This day's the day for a brand new start. We're singing, this is the day when the hope is calling. This is the day when the light is shining. This is the day when the world can say, Veronimanie. Can you hear the cry from the hearts to be free? Yes, and can you hear the call of the prophets who see?